Let's just have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, we thank you so much for this time that you've given to us, for your goodness and your grace that you have ordained us to be here this morning to sing your praises, to listen to your word, which is alive and powerful. We thank you for your love for us, and we thank you for your care for us. And we pray that you will go before us this morning. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've got some good news this morning, and even greater news this morning. I'm reminded of a sketch back in the days. I don't know how to remember the show back in the 60s and 70s called Hee Haw. But there was a skit where Archie the barber would start cutting Roy Clark's hair. Actually, you never saw him cut his hair at all, but they would tell the story. He said, "You hear about Bob?" And he says, "No, I hadn't." And he says, "Well, he got into an accident." And then Roy Clark would say, "Well, that's bad." And then Archie would say, "No, that's good." And then go on. And then Roy would say, "Well, that's good." And he says, "No, that's bad." So it kept going back and forth. Both that's good and bad. So with me and this, I've kind of graduated from a flower stitch that stuck out the side of my head. I had basal cell cancer surgery. This happened back in the late 90s when it was first detected. It had been operated on about 3 times, and then it came back with a vengeance this time. And they had to take a large portion, if you can imagine, 2 loonies or toonies laid side by side together. That's about the size of the incision. And then they had to take down here the skin to graft it up here. So for a while I was at home with this flower type stitch sticking out the side of my head, and I graduated to a toque and now ski man, and hopefully soon. I have to keep it covered. The doctor said that if you're not home, keep it covered up. So I've gone from kind of graduating. So good news is progressing. The medical community has said that the incision, or the way that the stitching, the plastic surgeon down at Edmonton did a fantastic job, so hopefully there won't be a lot of scarring, and just waiting for the pathology report to come back, and hopefully that they get all the cancer. So far, so good news, but listen, I've got even greater news to talk about this morning. And if you would turn with me to your Bibles, to the Gospel of Luke. Yes, we're going to look at the Christmas story again. I love this. And one of my favorite renderings of this portion of Scripture is actually from Linus on the Christmas story, Charlie Brown. And Charlie Brown says, "What's Christmas all about?" And then Linus is on stage, the lights dim. And one of the things that I didn't realize, that my brother actually told me about this particular scene on this cartoon, is that Linus is always holding his blanket. He's got it close by. But guess what? In this particular skit, he lays it aside. To Linus, that was his security, and by telling this, "I'm secure." That particular scene almost didn't make it, according to some things I read with CBS. They didn't like the fact that there was a religious tone to that, but Charles Schulz basically said, if it doesn't happen in this, what's the sense of telling the Christmas story or having this whole cartoon? In Luke chapter 2, it says, now in verse 8, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to toward men. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they kept it to themselves. No, they didn't. They made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. It was good news. It was good news. If you go further in there, there is two other characters that are mentioned, Simeon and Anna. And you know what? They had good news. Let's talk about the angels for a moment. Can you imagine, if you will, being somewhere and getting this magnitude of a message from the angels in glory? I would be a little taken aback, to be put it very mildly, but here they were out in the fields watching the flock by night, and all of a sudden an angel with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, and the Lord's glory shining around them. And they are saying, "Glory to God in the highest." In fact, let's drop back to verse 10. "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to" how many? All people. All people. "I do not want you to fear." And many times when the angel appeared, the thought of judgment, the magnitude, just their presence. But the message was one of joy. It was of great joy, in fact, and it is to all people. Every single person. Why? Because a Savior has come. A Savior has come, and we'll get into that in just a moment. It is a message of peace and goodwill toward us. If you could characterize the gospel or the good news, what is the good news? What is the good news? Is it one of peace? Absolutely. Is it one of reconciliation? Absolutely. God has desired to reconcile man to himself. If you go back to the Garden of Eden, God's purpose was to have fellowship with his creation. However, something happened, and it's called sin, that broke that fellowship. And here God is desiring, through Jesus Christ, to reconcile the world to himself. It says that before we came to God, we were at enmity toward God. We were in a battle with God. There is no peace. There is no true peace. There is no real peace apart from him. It is a gospel of peace and reconciliation. And that's why they were coming in a magnitude, giving glory to God. They could see what was going to happen. Here, this one who had been with them for all creation, for the time that they were created as angels, to see the glory of God. And here they are coming. Here's some great news coming, and we want you to know about it. It's interesting who they came to first, isn't it? They didn't go to kings. They didn't go to queens. They didn't go to princes. They didn't go to royalty. They didn't go to great heads of government. At first, they came to the shepherds. The shepherds at that particular time were considered the lower class, along with tax collectors. In fact, if you go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, it's an interesting story where David is anointed king, and Samuel goes to Jesse and his sons. And so Jesse is lining up his sons, and Samuel's thinking, wow, look at these guys. Certainly, from this, it says, so it was when they came that he looked at Eliab, one of Jesse's sons, in 1 Samuel 16, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Nope. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So Jesse called Abinadab, made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse made Shammah pass before, no, so on. And thus Jesse had made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these, your boys. Now, Samuel says, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and he's keeping the sheep. Kind of gives you an idea of where this couldn't certainly be David. And yet, the lowest of the low, and God appears, God sends his angels to appear before them. So the message is first, or the appearance, I should say, is first met with fear, not really knowing what's going to happen. The angel calms them, they bring glory to God, and you tell them about this. And so the shepherds say, well, hey, that's pretty good. Well, let's just keep tending our sheep. No. The response is, now I got to get back to where I just lost my place in Luke. And he says, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe. I often think, if I could go back in time, this is one of the places I'd love to go back to see this. And this whole thing unfolded before them, and the scene before them, and the scene that was earlier, this is of the Lord, and we're going to make this known. It is a message of peace. It is a message of reconciliation. It is a message we have to tell. And guess what they did? Boy, they made it known. They made it known. Let's go and tell this good news. And not only that, but they returned to where they were, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. I want to stop there just for a moment. And when we first heard the gospel, if you're here this morning and you know Christ, what was your response after you said, hey, yes, I'm going to receive this good news? It's great news because it has brought a Savior into my life. It has brought reconciliation into my life. It has brought peace into my life. Now, what am I going to do with it? So what was your response? Well, that's good. I'll get on with my life. Our response is to tell others. I remember way back when I was working at Shop and Save, and there was this guy that was always coming in, and he was always wanted to, you know, here I am trying to stock shelves and, you know, wait on customers, and he always wanted to talk. And if I let him, we probably could get into a good 10, 15-minute conversation. This one particular time, it's almost like he's come running toward me. He says, guess what? I said, what? He says, I got a brand new car. He says, I want to show it to you. And I said, okay, just let me take a quick second. And he just wanted me to just, you know, just relish in this good news of his new car. Or you hear other people that come in and they come in and they say, listen, Steve, I got good news for you. Whatever it may be. You've just been promoted. Or Patty might come in and say, I got some news. Good news. We're going to have a baby. No, we're not going to have a baby right now. No, I'm talking about way back when, you know. Whew. Sorry, Pat. No, we've... If we were to have a baby, then move over Abraham. So the response is, and this is what God, and at the end of it, of this message today, I want to challenge you, and I'll challenge you now, is that this is the best, the greatest, the absolute perfect news for all mankind. But what are we doing with it? That's good news. In fact, it is the most important news that we could ever hear. So, and when the 8 days were completed, this talks about the circumcision of Jesus, his name was called Jesus. Jesus, meaning Jehovah saves, or Jehovah is salvation. And that in itself is good news. Because they were obedient and they knew what this child was or was going to be. He is then presented in the temple, verses 22 through 24, talking about the days of a purification, in verse 24, to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, which that in itself shows that both Mary and Joseph were very poor because that was the allowance for those who couldn't afford sheep to be sacrificed. Now, while they're in the temple, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. I love what he says, or what has been revealed to him. Verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Excuse me. And so he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, as he says, it took him up in his arms. Can you imagine that? I love that scene right there. As Simeon sees this child and realizes through the Holy Spirit that's upon him that this is the one. This is the one. He says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. Because at this particular time, I'm picturing Simeon just looking at this child and saying, you've answered my prayer. And you are true to what you had told me, that I would not depart until I had seen. That's neat. I love that. For my eyes have seen your salvation. And listen to the wording. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, every tribe, every tongue, every nation. The gospel is for every single person in this world. I remember a few years back when I was working with Waypoints, we went to Janvier for, I'm trying to think what it was called. I think it was called Aboriginal Days. Anyway, they had a speaker there. And so my coworker and I were sitting at the table, and he comes in. The speaker, who was apparently very well educated, and I don't know how we got on the topic, but he said, "Oh, Christianity, it's a Western religion." Whoa! I almost jumped out of my chair. Honestly, and my coworker said afterwards, she said, "Steve," she said, "I thought you were going to go reach across the table and grab him." It's not. It's a religion. It's really not. It's a personal relationship with God for every single person in this world. In fact, it wasn't started in the West. For remember, Jerusalem and that area, Israel's in the Middle East. It is for every single person in this world. It is a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. The Gentiles sit in darkness, as it said. There's two, according to Scripture, there's two groups of people. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. And so here he gives that distinction that it is for all people. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." It is, as the Jewish scriptures keep talking about the Messiah who will come, it's realized in Jesus Christ. He is the only Messiah. It is, as he says, Joseph and his mother marveled at the things which were spoken of him, and thinking, as much as the angel had said to us, and we're starting to, right here at the very, very beginning, get a great realization of who we have as this child. Not that they didn't, it's just keeping unfolding along the way. He says, "Behold this child," in verse 34, "is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against." The fall and rising of Israel. Christ had talked about coming into the world bringing division because there will be some who accept it, the message of the gospel, and there are others who will reject it. That is the thing that we face, and sometimes the thing that we face is to why we're a little bit hesitant, maybe, possibly, to share the gospel, because we know that we and the message will be rejected. God is desirous that all men be saved, but will all men be saved or all peoples? No. Christ talked more about the horrors of hell more than he talked about heaven. It's a place of outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But many will receive it. And as John chapter 1 states, in fact, Patty and I were talking about this the other day because we used to sing this, it's called the Salvation March, back way back now in the 60s in Sunday school. Can we know that Jesus saves us? Can we know? Be assured each, every moment, everywhere we go. And then it refers to chapter 1, verse 12 of John, is the ground we stand upon. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. My brother sent me a text. He said, Steve, I'm having a discussion. He said, what does the word Abba mean? And denotes that close relationship that we have with our Father. Somebody has said it's almost like we can go to our Father and say, Dear Dad. Yes, he says in verse 35, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. At the cross, many hearts were revealed. Crucify him! The thoughts of the disciples, it's all over. Imagine the thoughts going through Mary's heart as she sees her son being crucified on the cross. The heart of the Savior is revealed. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The centurion, truly this man, was the Son of God. That's a good sermon if you want to use the three C's, the crowd, Christ, and the centurion. And then we have Anna. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. The woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Can you imagine that? Her life was totally, absolutely devoted to God. And I think when I read that, I think of my life. How devoted is my life really to God and his purpose and his glory? And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Those who are looking for redemption, basically saying, here he is. Simeon, here he is. The shepherds going out and saying, that babe lying in the manger, here he is. He is the Savior. Looking for redemption, meaning being saved from sin. In Scripture, in Romans, Paul talks about the wages of sin is what? Death. Sin has its payment. It's death. However, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In John chapter 14, Christ is saying there's no other way. I am, he says, the way, the truth, the life. No person, or he says no man, depending on what translation, can come to the Father except through me. I hear so many times about the path to God. It's from the pit. Somebody said, I remember a guy named Tom Williamson. You hear something, Steve, he says that's from the pit. any work, any trying to purify myself or try to do anything to get to God apart through acknowledging my sin and letting the Lord Jesus Christ come into my life, there is no other way I'm ever going to get to heaven except through him. My friend, that is the good news. It is found in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. God desires that man be reconciled to himself. This is why we celebrate Christmas. This is God's gift to us, is his Son. This is why we celebrate Easter, because after the crucifixion, he didn't stay in the grave. He rose to life. And he lives for us. He indwells us. He loves us. He cares for us. And he's coming back for us. Good news. It's the gospel. Good news. Good news, good news. As Christ was going back into heaven, there's a thing in Matthew's gospel, and say a thing, but something that, Matthew's before Luke. No wonder I couldn't find Matthew. It says in verse 16 of Matthew 28, and we're all familiar with this, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. We're talking about Thomas. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Mark 16:15. "Go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel." Good news. It is good news. What will you do with the good news? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for these things. We give you thanks for what you're going to do in our lives. May we be ones who are devoted like Simeon and Anna. May we be ones who love you with all our heart. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.